He was not hiding in a basement. He was not sleeping rough or moving through tunnels or eating food out of cans in a rented room with the curtains drawn. Roberto Mazzarella, head of one of the most violent organized crime families in Italian history, wanted for murder, flagged as one of Italy's most dangerous fugitives by national law enforcement, was arrested at a luxury villa on the Amalfi Coast on the 4th of April, 2026, the kind of place where the lemon trees hang over white limestone terraces, and the sea below is the blue you see on postcards, the kind of address that costs more per week than most people earn in a year. He had been there for more than a year. That is not a detail to slide past. That is the thing that requires explanation. I have read a lot of fugitive cases. I have spent time with files about men who ran, men who hid, men who built new lives under new names in countries with no extradition treaties. The successful ones disappear. They go dark. They stop using their phones. They stop touching the money. They cut the people who know them. And they build distance until the past cannot find them. What they do not do, what none of the ones who stay free for more than a few months ever do, is live in a luxury villa on one of the most famous coastlines in Europe, in a country that had formerly classified them as dangerous, on a stretch of road where any tourist with a telephoto lens could have photographed their face on any given Tuesday. And yet, the name Mazzarella has been attached to the Camorra, Naples' organized crime network, for longer than most people's understanding of Italian crime extends. While the Sicilian Mafia was becoming internationally famous through American immigration and Hollywood films, the Camorra was doing what it has always done, operating in the dense urban fabric of Naples, controlling territory block by block, managing the movement of drugs, weapons, and cash through the port that processes more cargo than any other on the Italian coast. The Mazzarella clan specifically traces its origins to the Piazza Garibaldi area of Naples, the main transit hub of the city, the point through which goods and people and money have always moved. This was not an accident. The clan built its power around proximity to flow. Over decades, the Mazzarella name became synonymous with violence that was specific rather than indiscriminate. Targeted killings, territorial enforcement, the kind of murder that sends a message, that arrives at an address and is designed to be understood by everyone in a particular neighborhood as a statement about who controls what. The records of the Anti-Mafia Directorate, the DDA, contain documented connections between the Mazzarella clan and multiple homicides going back through successive generations of family leadership. Roberto Mazzarella took over the head of this operation at a point when the clan was under significant pressure from both law enforcement and rival Camorra networks. His tenure as boss was marked by the kind of authority that does not invite challenge. The murder charges that attach to his name are part of a pattern the prosecutors have been documenting for years. I am not going to speculate about specific victims when I cannot confirm the exact case files that led to the arrest warrant. What I can tell you is that the warrant existed, that Italian law enforcement classified it as serious enough to place him at the top tier of fugitive priority, and that international cooperation was requested. This was not a bureaucratic formality. This was the designation given to men the state has decided it will pursue regardless of cost or time. He went on the run. The timeline places his disappearance more than a year before the April 2026 arrest, which means he was successfully evading capture through some part of 2024 and all of 2025 and into 2026. There is no public record of him being spotted, no credible reported sightings, no photographs circulating online of a man in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was not there, and then suddenly he was there, at a villa on the Amalfi Coast, and the Carabinieri came and took him. The question that the arrest does not answer is the question I keep returning to, not whether he is guilty, not whether justice was served. Those questions have their own forums. The question is the villa itself. The Amalfi Coast is not a place you access without money and connections and documentation. Properties there do not operate under the radar. The owners and managers of rental properties, the household staff, the neighbors on roads that climb the cliffs in hairpin turns, these are not anonymous. The infrastructure of that kind of life, the groceries, the utilities, The vehicle that presumably brought him there and could have taken him away requires a network. You do not hide on the Amalfi Coast alone. The Camorra operates through exactly this kind of infrastructure. The organization's capacity to shelter its members is one of the documented features of how it maintains loyalty. The state understands this. The DDA has built entire prosecutorial theories around the networks that protect fugitives, the families who house them, the businesses that supply them, the legal structures that hold property in names that do not appear on arrest warrants. In previous high-profile Camorra and Mafia captures, the properties where fugitives were found have themselves become subjects of asset seizure proceedings, on the theory that a building used to shelter a fugitive boss is a tool of criminal enterprise, regardless of who nominally owns it. The villa on the Amalfi Coast is presumably now the subject of exactly that kind of inquiry. What this case does, that so many fugitive captures do not, is make the contrast impossible to ignore. The most dangerous classification, the murder warrant, the international cooperation, and a man sitting in a place where you can watch the sun set into the Tyrrhenian Sea. The distance between those two facts is not just irony, it is a statement about what the Camorra can still provide for the people who reach its highest levels, not invisibility, not deprivation, not the life of a man who has given up everything to stay free, the life of a man who is protected enough that he doesn't need to hide, who lives well while the state files its paperwork, who looks at the same coastline that tourists photograph and sees something different, the proof that the network holds, until the day it doesn't. The arrest was made on Saturday. By Saturday night, the Carabinieri had their photographs, their statements, their documentation of the villa and its contents. Roberto Mazzarella was in custody. One of Italy's most dangerous fugitives was off the list. The villa remained. The lemon trees were still there. The sea was still the same blue. Someone chose that villa. Someone made the calls and arranged the documents and brought food and kept the neighbors from asking too many questions for over a year. That person, or those people, are almost certainly still there, still in the same places they were on Friday, still part of the same network that made it possible. The question is not whether the Camorra protected Roberto Mazzarella for a year on the Amalfi Coast. The arrest confirms that it did. The question is whether the people who made that protection possible will ever be charged, or whether the network that built a luxury prison for a murderer on one of the world's most famous coastlines will simply find the next person who needs it.